Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another episode of Five Out.
When you say Five Out, what do you mean by that?
We got to talk a lot about the Celtics. Obviously, they beat the Lakers the other night, but there was a lot of other stuff going wrong with them prior to. We'll touch on the Lakers as well, looking at the Rockets and James Harden, everything that's going on there. Chris Paul, a story came out with him talking to SI. There was some interesting stuff said there. Obviously, we'll touch on the Thunder through the course of that as well. Looking at which coaches might be in a little bit of trouble in the NBA, which ones are on the hot seat right now. We have like three or four or five maybe in mind at this point. Kyrie made some dumb comments, of course. And maybe a couple other things that we'll touch on too. Damian Lillard, why do you need to score 61 points to be the Warriors maybe? If you haven't already, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you guys listen to the show. Please take a screenshot of it and send it to us on Twitter or Instagram at 5OutPod so you guys can redeem your free t-shirt.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be alright with it. Yeah. Maddie
Ray. You got to watch the game the last night, right? Actually, you were tweeting about it, right?
Yeah, I was tweeting about it.
Yeah, I saw the one that you said, what was it? Thanks for showing up, Celtics, or something? I mean, Lakers, something to that effect, right?
Yeah, that's, of course, that's what I wrote.
Yeah, and so I saw someone replied and was like, don't take the credit away from the Celtics or something like that.
I really wasn't taking away credit from the Celtics. I thought they played really well. I just was – I don't know. I'm on the mindset that you're a professional basketball team. You should not lose. If you lose, I should say, if you lose by more than 30 points or, like, you're getting smacked by 30 points, it's because you just didn't show up. Like, you just effort, all that kind of stuff. Because – you can tell me the Lakers are 30 points worse than the Celtics.
I'm going to venture to say no, that was an anomaly.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, you know, Anthony Davis, 9 points. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, 22 minutes. I know he was supposed to be on a 28-minute restriction, and he got into foul trouble early. But still, I kept hearing, this is all like a tailbone thing now. It was supposed to be – I thought it was a bruised ass. That's what I thought it was this whole time.
He's always hurt. That's his problem.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, like this, look, they came out – and the thing is, too, they came out like gangbusters, and everybody's like, oh, shit, the Lakers are going to – I thought they were going to torch the Celtics. It's like, this is going to be a long-ass night.
That's what it started with. I don't know. I just felt like once momentum switched, like, you could just tell, like, LeBron checked out.
I don't know. It didn't seem like he was playing. His night was done with 8 minutes left in the game.
I've seen it before. I saw it. I mean, again, it's not the same team because he was on a Cleveland team 2 years ago that wasn't that good. But, like, when he came and played the Celtics in game – I think it was game five. I was at the game. He shut it down. He quit. He's like, there's no point. Dude, we'll get him in game six. And I'm like, I can't vibe with a guy that's like that. There's no fight. And I get it. It's a regular season game. It's 1 of 82. And whatever.
Yeah, but the thing that he does that's so brutal is he makes himself bigger than the game, one, and then B, it's Lakers Celtics. It doesn't matter if that's regular season or not. Like, that's supposed to – this is the biggest game.
Yeah, but you know it's not – the rivalry is not the same. It's still – they try to make it like it's – but it's never like – those Celtics and Lakers teams hated each other, man.
Yeah, it was a lot different from when we weren't even alive. I agree with you, but it's still there to some extent. I mean, you can't tell me it wasn't there a little bit when KG and Paul Pierce played Kobe and Powell.
No, I think, yeah, but you're talking about guys who were competitive, like ultra competitors. KG and Kobe are, compared to LeBron, they're ultra competitors.
They're on a different level. I'll give you that.
That's not even close, bro. That's a fact.
Well, when you say, I mean, okay, well, you throw an ultra in front of it. Say, I mean, LeBron.
Dude,
LeBron's
two guys were psychotic. They're like, I'm saying, like, psychos.
Yes. Yes.
Psychotic.
Yes. Kobe, who
I'm saying LeBron doesn't compete. I'm just saying on that level, what they were. But I also was a, you know, it was a final, so it's a little different.
You know, the thing about Kobe and LeBron too that they do have in common, they are mentors to Kyrie Irving too.
Good luck with that.
Unfortunately, as you guys can tell, Ty is not here with us tonight. He was itching to talk about Kyrie and all his ridiculousness. But I don't want to get out the Celtics yet. I'm not ready for that yet. When I was looking forward to this show, because we weren't originally, you weren't going to be able to come on because you have you had a game tonight, right?
Yeah.
But with all the stuff going on with the Celtics before the Lakers game, with Gordon Hayward struggling and everything, I could tell you were rip shit. You were like, you were losing it a little bit.
Honestly, the Celtics-Lakers game was the first time. And again, the Lakers got off to a hot start, but I held in there. The last few games, I've not watched more than 5 minutes of the game because I wanted to just puke.
5 minutes of the game, Matt?
I couldn't. It's just, you could just tell by the way they were playing.
Yeah, their first quarter.
Marcus Smart chucking up 23s in a game. Please, I am not watching that. And I don't care that he hit 10.
11.
How many shots did he hit last night? Better question. How many shots did he take last night?
I think he took 8 last night.
There you go. That's what his limit should be, 8 shots. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather take Smart. I mean, if Smart's only taking 8 shots a night, that's usually a good sign. If he's
– yes.
Don't get me wrong.
This is why I hate, like, Celtic social media and all this crap is, like, they're talking about Marcus Smart hitting 11 threes. Dude, they lost to the Suns at
yes,
home.
Yes, they did lose to the Suns at home.
Puke. Get out of here with this Marcus Smart 3. I don't care if he hit 11 threes. They lost.
It's a problem. It's a problem when you think you have Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Cantor, too, to some extent, and then it was Tatum that was out there that night, right? Tatum was out there. You would think with those four guys against the Phoenix Suns, as much as Booker always does well against the Celtics, you would think they'd have that pretty much under control, right?
Well, they didn't play any defense either. I think it was – I read something where – I think it was last night on the broadcast – said they had given up over 115 points in 3 straight games or something like that. Like, it's you ain't brutal. Winning
they,
like that.
They, I mean, they kept giving up wide open shots, and they still that was still a little bit of a problem in the Lakers game too.
At the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, especially at the beginning of the game. And Brad Stevens talked about it. The other guys have talked about it too. It's like they're not playing within their defensive system and everything. What I don't understand is, so it's great that you identify it. It's great that you're able to work through it, and not everybody's getting bitter like they did last year. My issue is just, I understand getting out of rhythm, but how do you get so much out of rhythm that you lose to the Suns and the Pistons? The Suns are not what they were at the beginning of the year. And then you also lost to the Wizards all in the course of like 10 days. To me, it shouldn't matter if your defense off. A Wizards team that I believe didn't have Bradley Beal at the time either. Like, there's no way that should ever happen.
Just it's like a lack of focus. It's a lack of just coming out of the gate, being prepared to play, I think. Like last night you could tell like they got up for last night's game, but mm-hmm. and they didn't get up for the other two, which is kind of embarrassing, but it's also I also think it's an NBA problem because you see a lot of teams do this on random nightly basis where they just don't show up.
Yeah, it definitely happens. It happens plenty. It's big games and spotlight and that's
yeah,
where
yeah, and that just it kind of sucks that it's like that. And like, you know, the Lakers, I had a feeling like the Celtics, I thought they were going to win last night only because, you know, I thought it'd be close, but I didn't think it would be a blowout. I thought it'd be close, but the Lakers had a primetime game Saturday night, mm-hmm. demolished the Rockets, you know, then you're coming to Boston. So it's kind of like, you know, that time where you're vulnerable kind of.
Well, and LeBron will go and turn it into something where it's like, oh, this isn't really that big of a spotlight game. This isn't really that big of a deal because he doesn't care about the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. He just cares about the Lakers being the cream of the crop of the league. And he's only going to get up so much for these regular season games because that's how LeBron handles his business. That's what I find so annoying about him sometimes. Just wait a minute. What am I saying? How far in are we? We haven't even touched on the Jaylen Brown dunk too. That was unbelievable. He's gotten dunked on by Jaylen and Jason Tatum.
I'm pretty pissed they gave Brown a tech though.
So I didn't realize this at the time, and I haven't gone back at the replay since I heard this, but Lou Maloney said it on the air today. Apparently, Jalen was cupping his nether regions when he did it. Like when he took that second hand off the ball and he was like hanging from the rim. That might have been why he got the tech.
If LeBron did that, do you think he'd get a tech?
No, he wouldn't.
Reverse roles. No, he wouldn't. Exactly. It's because it was not LeBron. That's why it pisses me off.
Yeah,
well, LeBron, it wouldn't be a tech.
Well, what's even worse is you go and look at Bleacher Report and I mean, we accuse ESPN all the time of like sweating LeBron and everything, but Bleacher Report goes and shows the picture of LeBron getting dunked on. And then quotes under it, like uses LeBron's quote of like, it's not the first time I've been dunked on. It's not the last time I've been dunked on. Something to that effect. I mean, since when do we not celebrate every single guy that gets put on a poster? It happens. Anytime it happens, we're all about it. The guy who gets, you got to wear it when that happens. And LeBron, I mean, yeah, he, whatever, how he handled it. But I can't stand when a media outlet that's supposed to be a national one is going to go and just like take the guy's side who's supposed to be the loser in this circumstance.
Did I lose you? You're shocked by that?
Yeah, I am shocked by it. I know Bleacher Report sweats him, but come on. I'm shocked by it. Oh, okay. I'm not dumb. All right. Well, I guess I'm an idiot then.
Did you see when you tweeted the gif there of LeBron doing like complaining about the ball going out of bounds? Remember, yes. I retweeted it.
Yes.
Some guy, dude, this is what happens. People
on, he's one of our listeners.
So far, who?
The guy who quote tweet. I saw the tweet after. He interned at the TV station I used to do analyst work at.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, but he obviously is a LeBron fan, right?
Yes, must be.
Okay. He must be because of his tweet. It's like, he's like, oh, what? Because he does. No, LeBron does that all the time.
Yeah, I was blown away by that play.
I can't stand him.
I was blown away by that play because, well, you know what, Matt? It's. LeBron's annoying as hell, but I'm also annoyed by the people who are around him and deal with him, because on a play like that, isn't that something that has to get reviewed? I can't remember the last time I saw the refs over. I mean,
No. If LeBron complains, it gets overturned. Come on.
It doesn't happen often where we see refs like jump to converse and then get the right call. Usually one of the refs has to prompt that conversation. I don't think I ever see it where a player prompts it, because there are plenty of guys who try to, and then the refs talk about it. That never happens.
It's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem, Brown, with the NBA.
What?
That's my problem with the NBA, and I've said it all. They ref people different. They treat people different. It shouldn't be like that. What? Because LeBron complains? I mean, was it the right call? Yeah, it wasn't off the Lakers. But like you said, an official has to initiate that. Not a player going to complain.
No, that shouldn't happen. You know, I was watching the OKC Rockets game from Monday night, too, from Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I was listening to the OKC broadcast, and obviously Harden played there. But there's like every single time, every time a foul's called, they're like, "What?" Like the play-by-play guy goes, "Like I usually leave the referees to you, saying it to the analysts." He's like, but it's just unbelievable how differently they call the game for James Harden. It's like it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's a joke.
It is.
Yeah, but it's all right. He had a great night last night. Listen, he's, you know, scored 29. Holy moly, 29 points last night.
29 points on what was it, like 29 shots, and shot like 20% from the floor?
29 points on 29 shots. James Harden, you're a scrub. Dude, are you kidding me?
Dude, they've looked bad.
If you take 29 shots, that just says you take a lot of inefficient shots. To take 29 and only score 29 points.
Did you read that article?
I mean, that's mind-boggling to me. I'm sorry. And then he was 1-for-17-for-3. Hey, how about go to the basket since you get a foul call every single time you drive instead of chucking up 17 threes?
Did you
see the
article from The Athletic? And I cannot remember who the writer was, and I apologize. But did you see – the time might have sent it to us, and it was about James Harden, how he sometimes like hangs out like – around the half court line and just doesn't get involved in the offense.
Oh yeah,
there's a whole article on that. If any of you guys subscribe to The Athletic, it's worth your reading. It's
just go watch the game.
Well,
game for 5 minutes, it's exactly what, if he does not have the ball, he stands at half court.
I've never seen anything like it. And they explained how it was effective, but now it's no longer effective because other teams know what's coming and all this and that. And it's just I don't get it how when you can
Wait, how is that effective?
There was – the article came out, I want to say – the last time I think when I read the article, it was like the last time you were on the show. So it was like 3 weeks ago at least. So I can't remember how.
So they're saying that when he stands at half court, it's effective because it's what, 4-on-4?
I think because the player – I think the player who was guarding him was hovering near him and not collapsing inside or double-teaming Russ or somebody else. Can you stop moving your phone around like a – what are you doing?
I just dropped it.
Oh, you dropped it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so that was their argument in the course.
Yeah, that seems really effective. Hey, let James – when you don't have the ball, don't, like, do anything off the ball, like screen or, you know, cut. Or just stand in half court.
I'm not saying I would do it, but that's what they were saying, how it became 4-on-4 and you took out the better defender all this stuff. But now it doesn't work. Now it's not effective anymore.
Shocker.
The optics on it are terrible. It's like you're just going to hang around outside and do nothing. Because so basically, you and Russ are just going to take turns getting after it, and then
listen. They should keep doing what they're doing. I thoroughly enjoy it.
They've been, I mean, they. Ty's the one who's got to be most disappointed with them because he's the one that actually like kind of likes
them. I thoroughly enjoy it.
And then you get the whole thing with so they played the Thunder. They lose to the Thunder, which I absolutely love. Honestly, CP3 annoys me still a little bit. But he's kind of winning me over, and I'm confused. When I was reading this whole thing from SI, man, I don't know if you got the chance to take a look at it. But Chris Paul, first of all, was told by Daryl Morey that he didn't want to get traded to Oklahoma City. Daryl Morey asked him, and he told him he didn't want to, and then they did it anyways. Wow, I mean, shocking. I know it's a business, but if you're gonna talk to a guy like that. And then, actually give a shit about what he has to say. I mean, that stuff like that gets out like it did here. That's a bad look. Guys aren't ever going to trust you.
I don't trust him either way. Since he started that whole thing with China.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, Mr. I don't want to talk politics over there.
No, but like the dude goes on Twitter and just is Jesus, dude. Know who you are. You have a public face. You start tweeting stuff like that. Not good.
Wow. I did not expect you to talk about that ever.
Well, it's just not good. I mean, now he's doing this. That's even a worse look. Who would want to go play for a guy like that?
I wonder if Daryl Morey's going to be out of a job first or if Mike D'Antoni's going to be out of a job first.
Are you kidding me? It's D'Antoni. See you later.
It should be D'Antoni. There, I mean,
he
and we
sucks.
Had,
he, we what had, is he, I don't understand what the love for him is. I don't get it.
It's the
where has he gone and done well?
Matt, because it's the analytics community, and what happens is people want to have
– Wait. Who are the analytics people?
Who specifically? The people hiring him and the people who he has in the front office and the people who
– Nerds.
And some of them are people
Nerds.
Who are calls. Okay. Yeah, I mean, sure.
I'm sorry. Like, at some point, when does, like, a basketball mind come involved where it's just like, oh, it's just – analytics. It's analytics. Yeah, James Harden, just shoot 1 for 17. That'll win you a game. Yeah. Just
my
do
thing
that.
Is, I feel like analytics are so off are too often now used, and this is across.
It's overused. It's overused.
It's starting to infiltrate basketball. It's already in baseball, football. I don't know how much it happens. I have no idea with hockey, but I know
baseball,
it's there in football
too. You just stick a baseball. You just stick a camera in center field, and then you know what pitch is coming. So that's analytics.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So that is the most effective analytics. But with basketball, it's like I feel like with all of it, it's a way for people who cannot comprehend what goes on the floor and cannot begin to understand the instincts and everything like that are out there, and they need the numbers that are so in depth to explain to them why this happens, why this makes sense, and so on and so forth. Like that's.
But I don't think that.
You shouldn't run an organization like that, though.
Now I think analytics are important, so I don't want to like. Totally hate on analytics because I think there is a place for them. But at the same time,
of course.
Like you said, I think it's gone to another level where it's taken over and it's like it's changed the game. And I think in a worse way. Like
there's that graphic, right? That we tweeted out from the show's account where it's like the 3-point arc or whatever, right? Like the shooting in the league from like 02 to now, I think it was, something like that.
Stupid.
It's crazy how much it's changed.
You know why I actually kind of like how the Lakers play? Because they don't just chuck threes. Like, they dominate inside the paint.
Yeah, they usually do.
Like, it's not like post-ups. It's just like they run the floor well. You know, obviously Anthony Davis is a beast. But, like, that's why, like, when I watch the Lakers play, when I've watched them a couple times play this year, I think they just – I love how they – you know, they're not just chucking threes. And I don't think the Celtics – like, last night I thought the Celtics played well, not just chucking threes, attacking the basket.
And part of what's helped them is Tatum is getting better at the rim. He's gotten a lot better from the start of the season. He was struggling early on. He's still got room to grow, and I did write about that off the game. But like, he has grown progressively over the course of the season.
I mean, last night you had three Celtics in 20, you know, plus 20. So
yeah, and then
be hard to guard.
Cantor was right there, and then
Cantor played really. I've been a Cantor hater. He played really well last
night.
Okay,
so this is actually real important. So Cantor has played well. Cantor has shown what he can bring to the table. There's no doubt about it that he has something to offer, especially offensively, both rebounding and scoring. He's a good finisher and all that. My question to you is defensively, obviously I'm not going out and saying he's even close to being the fifth best defensive player on this team. But after what I've seen, I saw that game and what I've seen him do, I think he is a little bit more serviceable than he was previously. I mean, he's terrible at the pick and roll, but in the post he actually kind of can help.
Yeah, I don't think it's the post that you're worried about. It's him having a guard out on the perimeter.
I didn't think he could do the post though either, Matt. That was my thing. I thought he was just completely ineffective.
Yeah.
He's got active hands. When we've been talking about having a post presence and everything like that, like you bring Robert Williams back, and now it's like I feel like Celtics fans can be a little bit more comfortable having those three as your guys than you have Semi Ojeleye, who comes in the big games only, pretty much. Have you noticed that? Semi has played.
Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's his role. I other than that, I don't see the point of playing Ojeleye. Ojeleye has always done a good job against Giannis.
He played
as best you can.
Heading into the Grizzlies game, the previous 10 games, he's played around 20 minutes three times. And then five times he hasn't even played 10 minutes. The three times he's played like around 20 minutes, Sixers, Bucks, Lakers. He's just there for the big games. That's it.
Big players.
I mean, those are the – I mean, if you look at the other teams that they played against, those weren't big games.
All right, I guess you could say big game, but I'm saying – big opponents. What do all three of those teams have? Big opponents. Like
big opponents.
LeBron. They got Giannis. They got Embiid. They got, you know, they got big guys. So
Ben Simmons.
Because other than that, he's useless, to be honest with you.
Hey, you know what he's shooting from three this year?
I don't care.
37.3%.
Wow, unbelievable.
That's serviceable.
And there's a reason he only plays 20 minutes a game three times this year.
That's the last 10 games. You got to listen, Matt.
You know what I liked about what he did last? I thought he Brad shortened the bench last night. I actually kind of liked that.
He did big time. Those are the only guys that play double digit minutes off the bench. And
Shemmy
like actually
played
more than Tice. No, that's the way you got to go. That's your rotation right there.
Wanamaker, stay on the bench, please.
He has fallen off. Yeah, you. He did well during that stretch, but you'll see when my midterm grades for the Celtics come out on EEI.com that he has fallen way down the charts. And I mean,
shocking.
At some point, you've been clamoring for Draymond to get the call.
Yes. I don't want you to give it away. Where's your rankings on Gordon Hayward? Don't give it away, obviously.
I don't mind giving a little tease away for people giving him right. something.
Give me Gordon's.
So I'm gonna build up to that a little bit. I think there were like two guys who saw their grades go up. Quite a few people saw their grades stay the same, and there were quite a few who saw them drop off. I also, last time I didn't have Romeo Langford, Tremont Waters, or Taco Fall in there. With Gordon Hayward, he was one of the people that dropped off. I think I had him at a B-plus for the first quarter of the season, and now he's at a C-plus, I believe. Let me pull up real quick.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he
has. You're such a hard grader.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
C-plus?
What would you give him? Like
Gordon, mm-hmm. as an overall, I'd give him a either a D-plus or a C-minus.
I don't give – oh, wow, okay. I don't give D-pluses. You get a D, I never got a D in my life. I know you got a few.
Yeah, I don't
– but I was always told that you just get – there's Ds and Fs. You don't have a plus.
It gets a high D.
Okay.
A dumbass.
A high D. Okay.
I don't know.
You're giving him a D, okay? No, it's fine. I mean, look,
or a low C minus, like a 70.
A C minus, I could have gotten behind. I think, yeah, you know, no, I thought a C was the lowest grade I would have given him, and I thought C plus was fair. I thought C plus was right. Maybe I was a little bit too lenient. I don't know, but I just looked at who else had C's in my grouping, and I was like. He doesn't fall in with the C's. He certainly doesn't fall in with the C minuses. I'm reluctant to give anybody an F. Poirier is my lowest grade on here. He doesn't get an F. You can take a guess what he gets. So there's your two teases right now for my report card. Brad's grade took a hit. I'll tell you that too. Oh, rightfully
Jesus.
So.
Jesus. Wow. You're really handing out. You're a really tough teacher.
Oh, you are. God, what would you give Brad? I'm not giving any more grades away. I've given two already.
Honestly, I'd give Brad – I think Brad's a C.
Wow.
That's what I
– Wow, you give him a C? For the – this is – I'm not just talking – because here's part of the problem.
Yes,
not just,
I give him a C.
Hold, shut up for 1 second.
I'm going to C.
Not just for the second quarter of the season. I'm talking about the whole first half of the season.
I don't like he hasn't moved the needle for me. He does okay. What has he done? That's like I'm still pissed off that he lets Marcus Smart do what he wants. That will always bother me because I think at the end of the day it hurts your team. I think it does.
So when you had it the first quarter of the season, where did you have Brad? Roughly, can you recall?
See.
When they were in second place in the conference.
Whoop-de-doo, where are they at now?
I'm asking you.
They should be at the top of the conference throughout. They have the talent.
I'm not saying
the East sucks other than two teams.
So, yeah. When at the beginning of the season, where did you think the Celtics belong? Did you have them as a three or the two in the conference?
I had them at three.
You had them at three. So, at the quarter point, they were at two. So, they exceeded your expectations. So you still felt Brad deserved a C at that point?
But also Brad doesn't play in the goddamn game. So I think the players outperformed. I don't think he's done a great – him as a coach, I just – like there's a lot of things I've been watching that I just don't like. I'm not saying I want him fired. I just – he just hasn't really moved the needle from the 6 years he's been here. It's the same shit every year.
So here's something – you know, here's something I think that's getting lost in things, okay? This is my grade for the midway point. The previous grade that I gave them was for that quarter of the way through. So for Hayward to be – Hayward was a B-plus for the first quarter of the season. For him to drop to a C-plus means he – in this last quarter, the second quarter, of the first half, was worse than a C-plus.
He sucks. Only,
now, I'm sure there are going to be a ton of people who don't get that, and they're going to chirp me on Twitter or whatever, but – for our 5-Out listeners, you guys understand that if someone's grade dropped, that means their second quarter grade, which where the Celtics have not been as good, means that they played worse than the grade that they have now
point. He's underperformed. I have to say, I guess I've
never realized. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
He's not a good defender, man.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Professor.
Okay, thank you. No, it's important that you understand it because that means if you don't understand it, then I mean maybe nobody else understands it.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just said I don't think Brad Stevens has done anything for me to be like, oh yeah, he's done an awesome job.
I think that right now the most important thing for them has been Kemba has kind of I think that Jalen has you heard the stuff that he said with Woj the other day, or I don't know if you saw what some of the stuff that was on EI.com that I pulled from it, but Jalen has accepted Kemba as a leader and a voice on the team. And I don't get caught up in all this stuff, but clearly the environment that they're dealing with right now allows for them to make mistakes, and these guys don't lose their shit over it. And they're not like, it's not the end of the world every damn time. They're working through it. They know they have problems. I think as much as their issues are concerning right now, I have a tough time imagining that what happened last season is going to be what happens again. Like, even if they lose in the second round again, it's not going to be they win one game and then they get their asses handed to them. They'll go out with a fight. This seems like we've been saying all year, they're much more likable in all this. But going back to the did you have anything else on the Celtics?
From the grades, no. You're a tough grader.
You're such a dick. You talked about Hayward's defense. So what is it that you've seen that you don't like?
He really just sucks on defense. He really does.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like – remember how he said, like, was it a couple of days? Maybe you retweeted – I saw and you retweeted it, or you tweeted it out, like, something about – he was talking about his foot. Something's wrong with his foot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how his foot's his foot is –
how some days it's like – I don't know what the corny line he used was, but like something like diamonds, or didn't he say something like that?
I can't remember the exact verbiage.
Stupid.
But essentially, it was some days it's bothering him, some days it's not.
Oh,
and
dude, you're so
good. But he doesn't want to use it as an excuse. That's his whole thing.
All right, well, then don't bring it up then. Come on.
Honestly, it's true.
There you go. See, that's the problem. It's like, oh, well, I don't want to use it as an excuse. Well, then why bring it up and say that your foot's been bothering? That's your excuse, dumbass. No.
Yeah, I mean, even because his counterpoint could easily be, well, I was asked about it, and I was not there when he talked about it. I think he was in a scrum, but I wasn't there for it.
Soft.
And my thing is, if you get asked about it, you just say, no, it's not a problem. It's fine. Soft. He does it about his ankle. He got pissed about it the other day when it got brought up after he had a bad game.
He's soft, dude. I couldn't tell at first. Like, well, maybe he's just, you know, slower on defense. I just think he's not tough. He's like soft. Like, he gets backed down too easily by other forwards, especially in the post, or like even going to the basket. I just feel like there's no resistance from him. I will say where I've been wrong. Well, not wrong, but I have seen Tatum. I've liked Tatum defensively a lot more than I did at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he's definitely shown better. I mean, the instincts are there.
I mean, it's glaring. Gordon's the worst defender, I think, when they're on the court, probably minus Kanter. If Tice is out there, Gordon's the worst defender.
Yeah,
and I don't even think it's close.
He was guarding AD to start the game, was he not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of stunned when I saw that.
That's a great matchup.
That's going to work, you know, every single time.
I think he's just – there's times where he's just soft.
So let me ask you this then. But the start of the game, obviously, what he did was huge when he got the Celtics out of that rut. The thing that was good about that win, too, aside from them kicking the far out of the
Lakers. I thought last night he looked – didn't he look more aggressive on offense?
Just early on he did, yeah.
To start, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes. To start. He came out and he started well. Like you said, he kind of got them out of that rut. He scored like 8 points or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know why he can't get – that whole foot situation under control. If it's, I mean, he said he thought it had to do with what happened. It was like somehow connected to his previous injury. I mean, honestly, dude, if that's connected to his previous injury and he's never going to get it under control.
Trade him.
How are you going to trade that contract? He's going to be here for another year. I can't imagine everybody's going to want to take him. I don't know, man.
Cut him.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to get rid of and move.
I think this year solidified to me your two cornerstones are Brown and Tatum, and you rock with that.
Yeah, they've proven that. I mean, it wasn't guaranteed to be the case today, but
I think it's proven.
I think it is now.
And Kemba's a good fit alongside of them.
I think he's been a great fit, and I think he won't. I mean, he said he doesn't mind not always being the guy, but he can be the guy. And these guys, see, again, this is where I hear sometimes, oh, you got to have one person who's ready to be the guy, and you know, you can't be deferential and stuff. But if someone's riding the hot hand, and these guys can all shoot from the outside, because all three of them can shoot from the outside, all three of them can finish at the rim, and I mean,
I kind of disagree with that in a sense. I get what you're going with it, and I think that point isn't wrong. But the only thing is, like, my argument to you would be, well, what happened with Katie and Russ? Well, Katie wasn't willing to take over that role as being the guy, and Russ did. And now I think that was just wrong. Mm-hmm. In this sense, I think now, does this hurt? I mean, they seem like they're close, Brown and Tatum, but at one point, one of them has to be the guy, no?
I think what we've seen so far is that Tatum is the guy at the end.
Because, like, think of, like, if you think of every championship team in the last whatever, there's always a guy. There's always the guy. Mm-hmm. And the teams that kind of didn't have that figured out struggled, like Kobe and Shaq. You know, they only lasted and they got sick of each other after 3 years. Like, it took the Warriors. I get they were loaded, but they had a guy. I mean, granted, you could ride a hot hand, but you always knew who the guy was.
Right.
Durant.
I think Tatum has kind of shown he is the guy that, towards the end of the game. He's the one that has the ball in his hands.
Well,
late.
That's what I'm saying. As long as Brown's cool with that, and, like, you know, I still do think Kemba's the guy right now. Obviously, not for the future, but just like right now on this team.
I mean,
but I just wonder that, can Brown be okay with that?
Okay, I'm kind of starting to feel like Tatum has become the guy, like at least at the end of the game.
Sure.
Like, and that's where Brown has been vital, and Hayward was the other night. With Brown has been the guy most of the year. Where early in the game he gets things going, because Jason Tatum is like a puddle in the first quarter. You talk about their struggles. I mean, you can usually look at the first quarter and you can see the line and it's like 0-for-6 Jason Tatum. I mean, that's a big problem at the start of a game.
Yeah.
But then he'll go off and finish, I don't know, 8-for-20. And if it's like, if he's finishing 8-for-20 after an 0-for-6 start, I mean, then he had a pretty decent good stretch after the first quarter.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, it's just, I get your point. You got to have a guy who you can trust at the end of it and who's ready to take over, and other people have to.
Well, I just think you need set, like, you know, roles. I think.
And I think that they're – and you know what Brown has been saying all year, though? He's been saying – and I do want to try and talk to him about this a little bit more at some point. He said it, like, the roles are set now. Brad Stevens has said it. We know who our five best guys are. So there's some gray area, you know, certain nights it seems like. But I think with those three and with Smart – I know Smart takes liberty sometimes, but I think with those three – you kind of know what's up. It's just Hayward who just can't seem to take on his role that he's supposed to take.
Trade him.
Now, I know we've spent – I hate when my iPad locks up and just doesn't identify my freaking – we did get asked a question on Twitter from Fennis Dembo a while back, and he wanted to know who we think the coaches are. He asked about five coaches that are on the hot seat and three GMs. Daryl Morey is the first name that jumps out to me, and obviously Sacramento. But I look at the head coaches with both of those teams first. Right now, the three coaches that I would go with, I would think you got to throw Scott Brooks in there, right? Obviously in Washington, because
they just suck.
How much is that his fault? I don't know. But
yeah, it's not. But you know how it goes.
Exactly. And then the two who I would say it's probably their fault. Definitely D'Antoni, and
he should have been fired 2 years ago.
He'll probably be he may be the last guy that gets fired. I don't know. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He's a lame duck coach and everything. And then I would say Luke Walton's the other guy who has to be on the chopping block.
I got one that I think is definitely on the hot seat. Is
who?
I'm having a brain cramp. I'm sorry. Who's I can't think of his first name. The guy on the Sixers.
Oh, Brown. Brett Brown.
Brown. Brett Brown. I couldn't think of his first name. I think he's on the hot seat, to be honest with you.
You know, it's so hard to tell because Philly's always, like, losing their mind over him. You know?
I'm just saying, like, if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Final, I would fire him. Like, I mean, how much more talent do you need?
Yeah.
I think they've underperformed. They're like the Celtics of last year. They suck on the road.
Yeah, you got that one. You had that one before. Everybody else. Just like you had the DeMar DeRozan is going to get traded. You were saying it before everybody else, that they're the Celtics of last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like good teams win on the road. Like, not, you know, again, yeah, not sure. consistently, because, you know, there's times you go on road trips and there's back-to-backs. But, like, actually, they lose to some bad teams on the road. Holy crap.
Yeah, they have been a huge disappointment all year. And that's why when the Celtics lose to them, it's even more mind-boggling, because it's like, how do you not get them one time? I don't care if it's on a back-to-back. Joel Embiid's not there, and they're an underperforming team. My only thing is, though, Matt, like, you look at Brown, and yes, there's plenty of talent there and everything. But, I mean, Ben Simmons never shoots a goddamn three. And Brown has said it. He wants him to do it. And I understand there's more to Simmons. Like, there are more issues there. But, I mean, at some point, how do you not look at the kid and say, like, there's some issues there that no one's going to get – maybe no one's going to get through to him. Because that's a problem.
Yeah, that's probably a problem.
You're a bad three-point shooter, and your coach is telling you, is encouraging you to shoot threes, and you won't do it. Maybe it's just, you know, he doesn't trust his judgment or anything. I don't know. But there's a problem there. Then Horford makes his comments about, like, not knowing his role. I mean, maybe that falls on Brown. Maybe that's, like, Horford is more of an issue than people realized he was in Boston. Yeah. And he's kind of carried some of it over there. He's not as much of an issue as Kyrie Irving, who's going and saying, you know, that there are certain guys in his team that are meant for the future and certain ones that are not. Then he walks it back, and then he compares himself to Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, and this is where he's a dumbass too. It's not just like I get it. You like Kyrie's going. I think Kyrie was actually saying, again, this is maybe an apologist for him, but he was actually trying to say people would crucify Martin Luther King Jr. and then obviously he was assassinated for what he spoke about, you know, peace and all this stuff. You know, if people are going to crucify him for that, then they can crucify people for anything. But that's just a dumb comparison on his part. And again, he tries to act like he's smarter than everybody else, and once again, sounds like a moron. And I just I mean, it's getting worse in Brooklyn.
He is the most insufferable athlete that is playing a sport right now. I think, in my mind.
I think that's fair.
The comments he made about his teammates and how his team doesn't have enough after sitting out for 28 games because his shoulder hurts, you're a bitch. You are a bitch.
How do you say that?
How does not one teammate on that team want to punch him on the goddamn face?
So I heard.
Listen, I'm all set with him. Just tell him to show up March, whatever it is, 3rd to Boston. Show up. Be a man. Show up. Please, for the love of God, I can't wait to see you there. But you know what? You'll have some phantom neck injury or something.
He's not going to. I believe that injury, by the way, based on what I've seen over the four games. He's not shooting from three as much as he was beforehand. There's definitely a problem there.
So, wow.
I'm just telling you. Good. I think the injury was real.
Go on the IR again.
But I guess there was like I mentioned this in like that bonus episode that I did after the Bucks loss. I saw Anthony Puccio from Nets Daily said like that there was a Taurean Prince Instagram post after Kyrie said that, and then Kyrie said he talked to the team. Jared Allen says he's cool because he didn't talk. He didn't mention Joe Harris, Jared Allen, or Taurean Prince in the course of everything. I mean. Those guys went 26 games in a row. You got Dinwiddie, Allen, and Prince haven't missed a game. Harris didn't miss a game till they played the Bucks, which Kyrie was back for that. I mean, these guys are going out there every single night, and then you just say, sorry, not good enough. Like, the dude has zero feel and zero respect for people. It is strange. It is bizarre, and he just has – and it's like you go and – see, this is the other thing. So I tore him apart last time for being an a-hole with all this, right, on the bonus episode. But then it's like, I'm not going to be petty. He said, I'm not going to be petty about the shit that people said about me. You're doing that right now. That's exactly what you're doing. You said, I'm not going to do it then. So you come across all high and mighty, and you have let it fester into something worse, and you're just taking it out on people more and more. You're also being dicks to your teammates along the way. And it's like, dude, you have done the same shit you've done in Boston. I don't care if the Celtics don't win with Kyrie. And if Kyrie goes and wins one with KD, he's not winning one with KD because of Kyrie. Kemba could go and play with KD, and he would win. It's because Kevin Durant. As long as he's healthy, it's fine. But the headache this guy causes, I feel for Nets fans. I do.
As long as Kyrie does not win another championship, I'll be. It's just like Harden. Him and Kyrie are in the same place. As long as they don't win, I'm okay.
I don't know if that's going to happen, dude, because KD, I mean, he's – If he comes back and he's what percent does KD have to be back at for Kyrie's drama BS to be a non-factor? Because KD brings stuff too, but KD is a little different. KD's not going at his teammates like the same way. I know he's had issues with Draymond in the past, but it's obviously different.
I just don't ever want them to win. Ever.
Kyrie's the worst. He is. I'm sorry.
He's insufferable.
When I was going into this, when I started covering him for NetsWire, I was like, oh, this will be good. Like, Kyrie's somewhere else that will be fine. And it was fine at first. But then I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that it was the issues that he had. He didn't jive with Jaylen and things, which, I wrote the EI.com story off of the Woj pod and what he said about Kemba. If you guys didn't – I know I didn't write it explicitly in there, but if you didn't think that Jaylen was taking a jab at Kyrie –
100% was.
1,000%, which, again, then proves the Scoop B interview that he had with Jaylen a little while back, the one I dissected on EI.com. I think that proves my theory right there that Jaylen felt not only that Kyrie was like did all those things and wasn't cool, he took the blame off of Kyrie because he felt he was inadequate and incapable of being a leader. And that's why he took the blame off Kyrie. It wasn't like he was forgiving him or it's like he's not that bad a dude and all this stuff. He didn't think Kyrie has the capability to be a leader. That's what it is. He's not saying it, but that's what
Kyrie
it is.
Doesn't have the capability to be a normal human being.
No, he doesn't. Like, but
normal teammate.
I mean,
he's such an egotistical shit. But
when you think about what that article said, Matt, and I'm not trying to drag Kobe. Just bear with me on this. I'm not trying to shit on Kobe, but Kobe stirred up shit, right?
Yeah, but see, the way you describe it just doesn't make sense. I get what you're saying.
Wait.
He stirred it up in a way, but Jordan did too.
But what I was going to say is, and this is what I'm saying, stay with me, LeBron obviously does things differently. So when you combine the two, I think what you get is Kyrie. That's the problem.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, Kobe and Jordan were always known to, like, push your teammates. And, like, you know, some people took it the wrong way, like Dwight Howard and Kobe. They never meshed. Dwight's perfect for LeBron. Because Kobe pushed guys. Kobe saw a guy like Shaq, and the reason they didn't get along is because he wanted Shaq to be better than what Shaq wanted to be himself. So, yeah, it's not going to mesh.
And that's
Kyrie,
my point.
Kyrie's just a douchebag. That's what he is. It's not like he's a good leader.
He's not. He's obviously not a good leader. But that's what I'm saying. He has gone and taken the principles that Kobe uses in MJ, where they go and give guys shit and try and push them that way in practice. And then he goes and uses it.
Yeah, but you got to earn
on the outside
first.
Oh yeah,
you got to earn that respect first.
Yes, you definitely have to earn that respect. But he goes and uses that with the media on the outside, and then he blames the media at the end of it all. And his teammates, I honestly feel for a guy like Taurean Prince, who was all excited to be there. It seemed like at first, and things haven't gone well for him. I know. Again, I was high on him coming into the season, but it's like that's brutal when he goes and calls all these people out and says you're not part of the plans. Like, who are you, dude? I'm sorry, you've been out for 26 games in a row, and you're gonna say that shit.
Yeah, good luck, good Brooklyn. Have fun with that.
Yeah, I feel for the fans. I see a little bit of it, and I can tell they're rattled. And honestly, you guys should be. You have KD. You got to keep praying that KD is the one that's gonna figure shit out for you, and that maybe DeAndre Jordan can somehow keep him calm. One last thing though on There's like two other things. One, the Chris Paul thing that I did mention earlier. I gotta find that the story. One thing I did not get to touch on that I was curious about your thoughts are, because the way the person wrote the story, I couldn't tell how Chris Paul is handling the whole situation. So when asked whether he would waive the final year of his contract, again, we're talking about Chris Paul here, if it meant he could be traded to a championship contender, Paul answered swiftly, no chance, that's not happening, nope. So I can't tell from the tenor of the story. Like, he said it in the story, he's all in, like he doesn't go halfway, and obviously they've been doing a great job in OKC for what people expected them to be coming into the year. Even I, with the power rankings, underestimated them a little bit. But my question to you is, when he's saying that, because there's no real context to it, before I go and give him too much credit, is he saying, I don't want to leave? Or is he saying, I'm not giving up that money? Or is it both?
I don't know. I'd probably say both just to be safe. I don't know.
Because everybody's praising him on Twitter for saying, like, he doesn't want to get out of OKC. I just don't.
He'd be stupid to give up the money, too.
It would be. $44.2 million option for 2021-22. Of course it'd be stupid. They're playing some fun basketball, though. Go and beat the Rockets
It's because that dude Shea Alexander is nice.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander is a stud. I mean, and they didn't even have Steven Adams for, like, almost the entire game against the Rockets because Clint Capella speared him into the freaking ground. Speaking of guys getting hurt, too, Dwight Powell. I don't know if you have the game on right now, but the only game going on Tuesday is Clippers, Mavericks, and Dwight Powell tore his Achilles, which is freaking brutal. And just, like, just a nothing play. It's crazy how that shit happens. So we're undecided on Paul when it comes to the contract.
Yeah, I mean, I can see them going both. I mean, they're doing well for, you know, what people expected. They're overachieving. And
I'd love to see them throw a fit.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'd love to see them cause a fit for somebody in the postseason. Just give them, even if it's just a scare in the first round, I would love to see that. Zion's making his debut. Depending on when you guys listen to this, he may have already made his debut. How do you think he's going to do? Because I guess I've seen some people predicting he's going to get – I think it was on The Jump. I saw someone tweet out predicting he's going to get 20-10 in his first game. It's going to be against the Spurs.
Honestly, that wouldn't shock me.
You think he's going to get 20-10 in his first game?
Dude, no. I mean, I'm saying, like, it wouldn't shock me if he did. I'm not going to predict that, but it wouldn't shock me. Dude, that guy is an absolute animal. My thing is, I don't know how many minutes he's going to play.
That's one. Two, he's coming off whole load-bearing injury with his freaking knee. We assume he's going to be the same guy right away.
I don't know. Yeah, you could be right. I don't know. He just seems like a player that doesn't know how to play.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a word. Like, he doesn't play half-ass. He goes ham. Like, he just goes hard.
Yes, he does.
There's no
he goes ham. Absolutely.
Turn-off switch. Like, but, remember when he blew out his shoe at Duke?
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought, like, he'd come back and he'd kind of, like, be, nope. There was no hesitation.
Yeah, everybody
the guy
was
just
like,
plays one way.
And that's why I like him so much, because everybody's like, oh, you should stop, you know, draft stock, blah, 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 you're fine.
Nope.
I'm still
That's when I really liked that kid when he said that.
So you think he's going to hop back in?
20-10? I would say, let's say he gets 15-8. That's my prediction.
I think that is a much more reasonable prediction. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Go and say 20-10. If it was the beginning of the year.
Because I'm guessing he's not playing. He's probably on a minute restriction too.
Yes, he has to be. If you had told me 20-10 at the beginning of the year, before the injuries and all that stuff, I would have said absolutely. Then I would have said absolutely. But yeah. It's just too much riding right now on him. Let's see. Damian Lillard scored 61 against the Warriors, and they actually won that game, so you can appreciate that, because I know you don't give a shit about stats if the team loses.
Yep.
But my question to you is, what does that say about the Blazers if Damian Lillard has scored 61 points to beat the friggin' AAA Warriors, or G League
Talk
Warriors?
Something needs to happen with that GM. I mean, dude, they got to make some kind of move.
That's a good point. Yes. That's a great point. They are in trouble there for sure. Like
they gotta move McCollum. That's what they gotta do.
That's what you would do?
I think that's what they have to do. I think they have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they don't even have to be dominant. They just need a good wing player.
Yep, a good wing.
That's not named Melo.
Yeah, it's not enough. Like Carmelo Anthony fan Twitter is a little unbearable at times.
Gross. It's gross.
You know, I get where people want to say, you know, you got to be able to enjoy awesome performances and all that stuff. And I do. I feel like you sometimes have a tough time with it if they don't win. I can appreciate it. But at the same time, if we're talking about building a team and trying to win ball games and shit – it's not like I like Russ, but I wouldn't want Russ on my team. I've said that before. I enjoy watching him play. I don't want Russ on my team though.
Yeah.
Like that's the prime example.
I just have a hard time
with like great performances. Again, if you don't win, like game one of 2 years ago when LeBron had like, what did he have, 50 in that game one? I mean, he was awesome, but at the end of the day, I don't remember games like that. Like, in like 10 years, I won't remember because at the end of the day, they lost. Like, it was in a losing effort.
Yeah, no one's going to care.
Did you have a good effort? Yeah, great. You had 50 points, but you lost. You know, that's why I just can't do it. And the Melo thing, you're right. They gas him up, and it's like, well, dude, they're still losing.
it's not like he's
doing all this stuff, and it's resulting in wins.
Exactly. So then when we look at the four coaches that we've mentioned so far that are in trouble, actually, you mentioned someone else. I mentioned we have Terry Stotts in Portland. We have D'Antoni.
I said Brett Brown.
Brett Brown. Okay, so we have Stotts, Brown, D'Antoni, Brooks, and Luke Walton. Who do you think is the first one to go? I think it's going to be Luke Walton.
Yeah.
Just to me, it makes sense. I feel like they've invested so much money. There were expectations this year, and they've been pretty brutal. I had the standings somewhere. If I'm picking one guy, I think it's going to be him, yes. I think D'Antoni will be the last one to go. Oh, D'Antoni and Brown will be the last ones to go. And then I think Stotts will go if they don't make the postseason or once they're officially eliminated from the playoffs. And Brooks will be somewhere in the middle of things. Yeah, because the Kings are 14th right now in the West. They could bump up pretty quickly, but they're 14th right now in the West. It's brutal. So that I'm pretty confident in saying that one. What else? Last thing was the Delonte West stuff. You saw the videos, obviously.
Do you know that was a police officer that was filming him and he got suspended?
Yeah, I did. It's a good thing we recorded when we did because normally we record around like 7. Instead, we did it around 9 tonight.
Yeah,
in the course of that time where we weren't recording, the Delonte West news came out, so I had to write about that. And then Walter McCarty got officially let go from Evansville, so I had to write about that as well. So rough couple days for ex-Celtics players. But the Delonte West stuff, man, like he was – I really liked him a lot as a kid. I just – his personality and everything like that, the way he went about things. Obviously,
it's sad.
It's brutal. And
it's like my brother said, man, drugs are wild.
They are. But there's also, you know, he's got some mental issues going on too, mental illness issues.
Couldn't tell.
I think it's
like a schizophrenic, man.
Yeah. I've seen bipolar. I've seen schizophrenic. I don't know which one it is now. I don't know if schizophrenic is not used much anymore. Okay.
He's both, I'm saying. He needs help.
Yeah, it's Perk.
I don't know how he didn't die from getting literally just kicked in the face repeatedly.
That was
he's getting like curb stomped, dude.
Yeah,
that was wild. That was,
I've never
like,
seen
was
that outside of a movie.
That video. Yeah,
I mean, that I looked at wild. when the first story that we had on it, on EI and the person who wrote it because I was not the one who did it. They didn't even put the tweets. They didn't even put links to the tweets. I don't think. In the story because it was so bad. The second one, the one where he's handcuffed is rough and it shows like the what's going on inside his head. But
Ty's the one that sent us all that stuff. I wouldn't have seen that.
Yeah. No, I saw it right before he sent it. I was like, what the frig is going on?
I thought he was messing with me. I was like, that ain't Delonte West.
No, I saw it. Someone tweeted it out. And it's like, this is Delonte West. And I was like, we didn't write anything till the morning because that definitely looks like Delonte West, but I don't know for sure. That's why I wasn't really texting in the two threads we had going.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to comment on it naturally because I don't know if it's him. And then it was totally confirmed by like Jameer Nelson and I think their coach from college and everything. So, man, it's rough, you know. And it's just like, that's not on an ex-teammate to necessarily take care of him. I know they Shams wrote about it. There have been people who tried to help him, but if the league can help him, they should. They need to try to because
put him in a mental institution. That's what they got to do.
I don't know if he's beyond help, but it's sad. Like I don't. It sounds like it's gotten really – obviously it looks bad, but it sounds like – it sounds even worse. Like that he's been – people have tried to help him. He just cannot be helped.
Yeah, some people also don't want to be helped. That's the problem.
sometimes people don't want to be helped.
You gotta want help.
Yeah, there are definitely times you gotta want help, but I mean, sometimes you don't know, like,
or aren't capable of receiving it. I get that. Yeah.
It's like, if you don't want it, sometimes it's like the issues are that much of a problem that you think you shouldn't have help. And I don't know. I don't know if your boy Heron, if someone is going to talk to him, but I'm sure he'd be a good person for Delonte to at least hear from, given all his experience and everything. He needs help either way.
He needs God.
Yeah, that and a bunch of other stuff. But anyways, you got anything else before we get going? Oh, you got a shout out because you've been out for a while. We haven't had any of those.
Dude, honestly, I know. Wow. I have. Want to give a shout out to all the high school coaches out there that, you know, really grind. I'm going to give a shout out to Paul Tanglis. There's not who's the head coach of North Andover High School. There's not many high school coaches that work harder than he does. I mean, he breaks down film. You know, he's out scouting the practices, the practice plans for each practice. How he runs his practice. I would just say, like, you know, and I've tried to tell kids that have played for him, you know, be grateful for having a coach like that, because there's not many high school coaches that, you know, if I played for Paul when I was in high school, I would have gone to a college practice and been like, damn, it's really not that much different. Like, it's because, you know, he just runs a really good practice. So to the high school coaches that do it the right way, because you work your ass off and you don't, it's not like you're doing it for the money. You're doing it because you love it. So. Mm-hmm. I respect that.
That's for damn sure. I don't know what the schedule for the Celtics looks like next week, but hopefully we can record on Wednesday and then be out for Thursday, so that way Matt, Ty, and I can all be in the same room at once. We were going to have Ty, but just some stuff came up on his end that there's nothing he could do about. But anyways, we will talk to you guys again next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be alright with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions, I'm just hoping for some.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.